And now for something completely different, an intro by the great Ken Paplowski at the Siletz Bay Music Festival. Well, today I have the great pleasure of talking to Yaki Bergman, Maestro Yaki Bergman, who is the conductor and music director of the Portland Chamber Orchestra. And I had the pleasure of meeting him a while back doing a concert with the Siletz Bay Music Festival, which just concluded this last weekend, where I was participant again, and we had so much fun. I thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe I haven't interviewed Yaki yet. And he can tell everybody a little bit about the PCO and its mission and the amazing work that you're doing.
The Portland Chamber Orchestra is, I guess, the premier chamber orchestra in Portland. Happened to be quite a special ensemble. First of all, it's the oldest chamber orchestra in the U.S. Hmm. Next year, we're celebrating our 70th anniversary. And we're coming really into a very special season with a wonderful programming. But really what makes this orchestra so personal to me and so unique is because of its artistic mission. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do the Beethoven, we're doing the Mozart symphonies, concerto, everything, the standard repertoire, obviously. But we also, and it's a very, very important component of our mission, is to create an artistic fusion that with music, we bring poetry, we bring visual art, we bring dance, we bring choreography, we bring theater. And there's open-mindedness in our artistic vision that is so inspirational and is so important for me personally, because where I am today is a result of all my experiences when I was involved in every form of art, practically, mm-hmm. from childhood. Mm. Yeah.
And were your parents inspirational in that way?
They not really.
It was your own spirit.
The social environment I grew up, which was a kibbutz in Israel. Uh-huh. I was involved in composing music for the theater at age 12.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's amazing.
I was involved in conducting at a very young age. I was involved in creating shows. Mm-hmm. We were a team, basically. One was the writer, one was the choreographer, I was the composer and conductor, mm-hmm. which I didn't know much about at the time.
Well, you've grown your expertise.
I just moved my hand in rhythm.
I think that's kind of still what you do, right?
Kind of, yes.
Well, you finessed a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, and then eventually, you know, you start learning or studying music more seriously, and you become a professional musician, and of course you want to conduct all the repertoire, if it's modest Mozart symphonies or anything, you know. But eventually you're beginning to realize that actually really what important is, and there is a great value of understanding and recognizing that jazz is as wonderful and as important and as America as anything else, you
right.
know. And orchestras needs to dig into all of those genres in order to become better and more flexible and really embrace the full language of music, you know.
I love what you say. I think I could not agree with that more, because every genre challenges a musician in a different way, and it helps you as a human being expand your consciousness, your flexibility. It just makes you, I think it makes people, I hate the word better, but more full people, you know, to experience that level of growth and challenge.
You're so right. Yeah, Susanna, you know what we did just last weekend, going through Irving Berlin's life mm-hmm. and his artistry, obviously. Mm-hmm. There are so many touching aspects of his life as a human being.
Yes.
The way he grew up, the influences,
Escaping Russia,
mm-hmm. going through those tragedies.
Oh, I mean, losing a wife, losing a child.
Yeah, and the way he expresses, the way his music expresses those nuances, this human feeling, you know, is incredible. Mm-hmm. In his songs, you know, which are basically, look, we're talking about all our life, about the Schubert Lieder, which obviously are a supreme form of art. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, presenting Irving Berlin songs
mm-hmm.
is remarkably rewarding.
Mm, it is.
You know, that's a very beautiful form of the American songbook, you
mm-hmm.
know, that is part of the American songbook. And for me as an artist, is extremely important to dig into all this variety of artistic expression, if it's jazz, if it's musical theater, cabaret, Mahler symphonies, name it, opera, Mozart operas. It's a huge, beautiful variety that enriches my own soul,
right.
You know. And beside that, you know, in today's reality, and that's one thing that I'm so excited about the Portland Chamber Orchestra mission, is that if a child sits in front of the computer, he comes across all those iTunes and I this and
I photo
right. and the internet and all these amazing sky's the limit
mm-hmm.
possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And a child can create, 10 years old can create a whole show
mm-hmm.
That will be rewarding to him in many ways. And it's basically an artistic fusion that he himself doesn't even recognize.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing with the PCO mm-hmm. on stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see a concert coming up called The Spirit of Youth. And it's in September. And you're going to have it at Lewis and Clark on September 25th and September 24th at the Nordia House.
Mm-hmm.
Concerto number 1 in C minor for piano, trumpet, and strings, Opus 35. And I see Anne Frank's face. And
yeah,
and so how did this concert come to pass?
This is an amazing program that really focuses on the youth,
mm-hmm.
The youthful spirit.
Which I know is you, first of all, have an incredibly youthful spirit. And I think that creativity is the key to that. Your interest and desire in finding something that excites you as an expert musician, as a man who likes to bring people together, who has such joy in your conducting. You know, when we lock eyes when we're conducting, when you're conducting, it's just, you know, magic. I just know you pave the way for the orchestra and for singers to make music and having fun.
I mean, I'm a traffic police, but...
But so nice.
Slightly you're manipulating
super
the process,
nice.
Too.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, how did this piece come to pass? And obviously,
we're
you
dealing
have a special
here with,
heart for that.
Yeah, the essence of this whole program is basically that we're dealing here with wonderful young, 15 years old,
mm-hmm.
Portland, a very gifted young pianist,
mm-hmm.
Raleigh Schweinforth.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I just... coached her this morning.
Is that right?
Yeah, on the Shostakovich Piano mm-hmm. Concerto number 1.
Mm-hmm.
She is our selected soloist. She is a fantastic, highly gifted, very young, beautiful girl. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, she's a visual artist too.
No kidding.
And some of her art probably, we have to finalize it, will be displayed at the Nordia House
oh.
and at the Lewis and Clark.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then at the same breath, we are bringing the second half of the program, one mm-hmm. of the most remarkable, moving, deep tragedies of a young 14 years old Anne Frank
mm-hmm.
to the front by presenting this one act opera the music was written by this fantastic Russian composer Gregory Fried. His nickname was the Living Shostakovich. He passed away 2 years ago
mm-hmm.
and Gregory Fried, and it is the most remarkable theatrical dramatic music one can imagine. As a matter of fact, it's a little bit avant-garde, but mm-hmm. it's not avant-garde for the sake of being avant-garde. It is truly the most evocative, powerful, theatrical writing I ever came across in my entire career.
My goodness, that's saying a
fact,
lot.
I heard it the first time. I was listening to it. I said, I'm going to take my time. It's a very powerful thing. I didn't even recognize yet to what extent and how deep this whole thing is. And I was kind of a little bit taken by the beauty, but at the same time, I was worried about that it might be slightly too avant-garde for our audience.
Mm. Well,
I put it aside, came back to it later on, listened to it again, already had the score in my hand, and I was totally blown away, completely blown away. I realized, wow, I'm having in front of me probably one of the most fantastic, And I love theater.
Right.
I always love theater. If it's opera, if it's working with actors, with theater, straight theater. And bang, we did it. Mm. We did it 5 or 6 years ago in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is so incredible. It has so much meaning, and especially in today's reality.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought to myself, here we are at the 70th anniversary of the Portland Chamber Orchestra. It's time to bring it back, and we'll bring it in the context of youth, the spirit of youth.
That's such
then
a
we have a connective
idea.
Tissue here between mm-hmm. between Anne Frank and
Raleigh. Pianist,
yes.
Right? Oh, that's remarkable.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's an aspect of your work that I so admire, and that is your ability to mentor young people. And that your mission or your...
Yeah,
your,
I love teaching.
You love teaching.
Yeah, I love teaching.
And you are inspirational. You know,
hopefully.
That's just a part of your what you do.
I love sharing. I love teaching. I also, one of the real great pleasures of teaching those young kids is obviously, you know, they have to come with some kind of ability and equipment or mental equipment,
mm-hmm.
Musical equipment, musical
knowledge,
whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But usually there's the academic approach is taking over the reality or the emotional approach or the theatrical approach.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, what I did with her, you know, I basically told her that I showed her that it's a life story. There's this underlying narrative here that needs to come across through the music.
Right.
Just let yourself go.
Right.
Be expressive, be sad, be aggressive, be peasant.
Be emotional.
Be peasantic, you know. Allow the music to really reflect what, you know, what the composer felt when he wrote it.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about that. Just in my work, I think a lot about there are things that my ego takes care of. Learning words, learning notes, learning stories, things that my brain takes care of. But then there's the point at which you have to say goodbye to the ego and trust that you know what you're doing and let the spirit take over where, you know, knowledge meets inspiration.
Susanna, one of the things I love about you, you reached a level of artistry which is completely organic, completely free. You let go, you just capture the essence of whatever context you deal with it, and you make it alive.
Mm.
You make it there. What do you think I stood there sitting on my stool, you know, and breaking into laugh with an almost non-controllable laugh and lost almost the beat because of that, you know, last weekend. You are so amazing. You really are the truth. You bring in the truth of the material.
Well,
the
it's
message.
A mutual admiration society, because I think when you are working with artists who feel similarly, that we're allowed to communicate through music. And like, I know there are things that make you laugh, so it makes me laugh to try to make you laugh. It's fun.
Of course, that's exactly it.
But you know, it's not always the case when other artists are
Absolutely.
Willing to go there or who inspire you to be free enough to take the risk and, you know, go for it.
We don't realize, you know, sometimes the artist, and you said something that is very meaningful. You said, okay, I divorce myself from my ego or the academic approach towards the material, and you really dig into the real meaning behind it and how to really make it, you know, tangible.
Right, from the...
And
from the
funny and whatever it is, or mm-hmm. tragic or whatever, yeah. And that's exactly, we are very privileged, you know, to deal with this kind of stuff that enable us to reach those levels of depth.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think that it's the only condition for us to be able to reach the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it will just another generic God
right.
knows what.
Right, and they're also a part of it, at least this last performance that
you heard
and I
it.
Did. Together. Well, that you look out and there they are singing along or crying or, you know, and it's just fantastic.
And you know, because you're a great artist, what it means to have the audience behind your back or in front of you being there. it's tickling.
Yeah, it's a little tickle.
It gives you a sense of, holy cow, I really am in connection with them.
This is working.
Know? Yeah, it works. Right. Exactly.
And then it's funny, too. The opposite is also interesting. You know, when it feels, you know, you look out and there's a couple people sleeping right in front of you. You know, then you think, well, okay.
All right, let's do
that's
something
happening.
About.
I don't know. You know, it's all good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's all part of growing no, as
it
a was person.
It is such a privilege to be an artist and do the things that you love to do and reach the point where you of this kind of freedom and you know an ability to just do it the way you feel like or the way you came to it in the utmost you know convincing way.
I also really enjoy the idea of, I hope that people who listen to the podcast will also share this with people who aren't artists, because I think that the thing that we're talking about applies to everybody.
Oh, big time.
Like anybody who does something that they love, or even if you don't love what you're doing, when you apply some of these principles of art making, you can love the life you're living, you know, you can be okay with whatever you're doing or actually even love it, you know?
But that's one of the privileges that we're experiencing as artists, you know. We go through life and every nuance, every second, every experience in life is part of our artistry or enriching us as artists, you know, and we bring it to the stage or to our music, yeah. And
so you're doing a lot of that. I mean, you're just bringing great music to us here.
Susanna, for me, it is the real... Yeah, I know as much as I can, of course.
Right.
And I hope to do it much more,
you
know. But the season, the PCO season, is not a very large, not a very big season, but we hope to really expand it.
The website address, refresh my memory.
PortlandChamberOrchestra.org.
PortlandChamberOrchestra.org. So take a look at the website, see what's coming up that you would enjoy, see if you want to participate as a donor, and possibly there's going to be a concert in Portland on February 9th of the concert we were talking about, the Irving Berlin concert. I think we're going to be doing again at the Audi Beaverton showroom, which is going to be really a cool collaboration.
And repeat it some other places.
Right. So there's a lot of wonderful things coming up with the PCO. You know, if you haven't had the chance to see any of their work, come and meet Yaki and see what he is up to. There's a show called Global Harmonies, April 22 and 23.
This is a very
interesting
program,
by the way. And that's in 2017, Lewis and Clark College. Tell us more about that. That looks
incredible.
This
is a very powerful, going to be a very, very powerful and exciting finale of the season, but at the same time, that's the concert that really will be the celebration of the Portland Chamber Orchestra 70th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't not sure if we're going to call it Global Harmony or In Harmonies and Brotherhood.
Mm.
There are two pieces, two compositions in this program. The second half of the program will be the beautiful, monumental Beethoven Ninth Symphony, the chorale. And the first half of the program, I'm presenting a piece that I commissioned many years ago in Walla Walla with the Walla Walla Symphony, where I'm the music director.
Mm-hmm.
In a celebration of the centennial of Washington State. And I came into collaboration with a fantastic composer, John Verrall, his name. He was a professor at the WSU in Seattle. He is the mentor of William Bolcom.
Oh, my goodness, one of my most beloved composers who I've had the great honor of working with, and along with his wife, Joan.
Yes.
Just amazing.
And he's a fantastic friend.
Oh, he's amazing.
Oh. Anyway, I didn't know William Bolcom. Mm. I knew John Verrall because he was a teacher of one of my players in Walla Walla.
Mm.
And we became very good friends. I did some short, small pieces by him, you know, in Walla Walla. And eventually, when this came about, I approached him not knowing that actually his greatest love is digging into the history and the legacy of the Northwest Native Americans culture.
Oh, my goodness.
And he came with this amazing idea of writing oratoria for baritone solo, children choir, mixed choir, and orchestra based on the surrendering speech of Chief Joseph, the chief of the Ned Spears tribe, which is basically all over Oregon, in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
We'll fight no more forever,
mm.
which is also became a movie, a Hollywood movie, a long time ago. And it really has all the elements of brotherhood, of nature, environment, children, education, peace and war, you know, very idealistic text. And we are bringing those two pieces that are so connected in their idealism, in their message, together as a celebration of the 70th anniversary of the Portland Chamber Orchestra.
Oh my gosh, that's magnificent.
Isn't it?
It really
fantastic.
Is.
Fantastic. And it's going to happen in collaboration with the Lewis and Clark Choir, which celebrates, by the way, Lewis and Clark celebrates the 150th anniversary.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Then it's a double celebration, you see, between the PCO, the Portland Chamber Orchestra.
And what a great opportunity. I mean, this is how I think, but this is something to bring your children to, because you have this opportunity to experience something beautiful in the music, listening, and then also connecting the story. I mean, this is what the Hamilton does, you know. All of a sudden, music opens the door to learn about the history of the Nez Perce, of Oregon, the Lewis and Clark. I mean, my goodness, this is a confluence of amazing learning, you know?
I cannot tell you how excited I am.
Lawrence Cotton, filmmaker, voice professional producer of CES Wood, Oregon Experience, and Chief Joseph and Nez Perce. Oh, he was there at Jimmy.
He was there.
Oh.
And I spoke about this.
Talk about, you know, good fortune or
and
not good
he
fortune.
He ran to me.
Oh.
And he said, I want to meet with you.
Oh.
Because I really want to work with you on that.
Oh.
He knows everything about Chief Joseph, about the Nez Perce. He wrote about it, and he created this movie or television program, The Oregon Experience,
which
has to do a great deal with the Nez Perce and Chief Joseph.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Then we might bring another component into it, you see.
Oh, might. It sounds like it's made in heaven.
Yes.
My gosh,
and
see?
That's exactly what it's all about for me. Mm. You know, it's so important for me to complement the performances with some scholarship or something that touch.
Right.
I might even bring some Native American chief into it.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, to my mind also, you start to deepen the experience and allow people to come to it for myriad ways, you know. There might be a visual artist.
Talking about diversity.
People who want to approach it from a scholarship point of view, from a musicianship point of view, from a theatrical, visual
big
art.
Big time.
You just really get a lot of people together who are interested in the subject.
But look, imagine to yourself, I'm thinking about, we are looking for, and I think we found something, an exhibition of portraits of Chief Joseph.
The picture you have.
Photos and drawings.
So beautiful.
And then if he will come into it, there will be some scholarship into it, a pre-concert lecture, I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about bringing even a chief,
mm.
not necessarily from the Nez Perce,
mm-hmm.
we'll see. Now, can you imagine the diversity and the inclusiveness of this event, the social and the cultural and the emotional depth that this event could create.
Oh, I can imagine.
Between the Beethoven and the
getting all these people in the same room. It
sounds unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. In Walla Walla, I had tons of Native American Nez Perce people that came to the opening, to the premiere.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. And it was such a big success that I did it with the American Symphony at Carnegie Hall.
Oh.
With the Seattle Youth Choir.
Oh, how incredible.
Yeah. You know, it's more than just music. It's the human experience.
Humanity.
Peace. It's everything. Yeah.
It's connection.
Yeah. Bringing people together.
Right. Bringing people together.
For the cause, the right cause, especially in today's reality.
Right. It's funny in a way, I think.
Politically,
to myself,
think about it. Yeah. What we are doing here is.
And you get people in the same room, and it doesn't even matter. They may not agree on anything.
Right.
But just listen to the music.
And we are.
Be in the same room.
Yeah. We have to live
then
together.
Then we're a step farther than we were.
Yeah.
Think, we're
think about
it.
We'll fight no more forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, in today's reality,
all
with
the
ISIS,
resonances.
With this, with that, God knows, you know, all the tragedies are taking place around the world.
Right.
Every day there are people dying from what?
No,
you know? But anyway, that's something I'm very proud of.
Well,
and what can be a better, more powerful way to end a season or anniversary season?
Well, I'm just so happy that I got the chance to talk to you, and I hope that people will listen and look further into what is going on. Oh, and I'm seeing also participants in that concert are
Richard
so
Zeller is going to be
Angela
Chief Joseph.
Niederlo, who I adore, and oh my gosh, Richard Zeller, Nicole Greenridge Joseph, Zach Finkelstein, Richard Zeller, all
He's going to be the Chief
Portland,
Joseph.
wonderful Portland voices. Katherine Fitzgibbon is directing it, and she's the chair at Lewis and Clark College.
Yes,
So
she is.
you've got your people. I know you're inspiring every single person that you bring into the game.
It's part of the it's the inspiration that I'm enjoying and I experiencing, you know, this all collaborativeness, this all collab this bringing people together to do something so beautiful is the most powerful experience one can as an artist experience, you
It
know,
is.
to go through. Then
It's possibly the most powerful experience that anybody can have, even if it's not, driven by music, but it's that creative, that sharing, that openness, the ability to listen.
And it makes us a better community
Oh,
altogether. You
no question.
know, we work together. And imagine the effect on those students will be,
So
and
I'm
kids.
encouraging everybody who listens to this to follow the Portland Chamber Orchestra and support their mission, support Yaki Bergman and all the beautiful work he's doing. And I guess that's the end of that.
Could be a better ending.
Thank
You're
you.
so special.
You too.